Hey, this is Karina, and this is the Mood Lab podcast. I'll share with you my personal stories, learnings, and philosophies, as well as those of the people who inspire me. We'll cover topics ranging from self-intimacy, tantra, and emotional embodiment, to nutrition and movement, to business, leading a team, and so, so much more. Expect to be inspired, laugh, and learn. And because this one has to be short and sweet, let's dive right in. Hey you, and welcome to the Mood Lab. It's so exciting to have you back here to listen to another episode and another conversation. This conversation I recorded whilst I was still in Mallorca. Now I'm already in Lisbon and it's beautiful. Oh my god, this month is just incredible. So much is happening and I cannot wait to actually share a lot more about that in my next solo episode, which should be out at the end of the month. So cannot wait to truly dive into the ins and outs of like how this city has been truly, I don't know, a catalyst or serving me. I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. It's truly, truly incredible. And but I actually don't want to keep us for too long in this intro, but I just wanted to share. So I've been having a conversation, a really beautiful conversation with my fellow sister, Tasha. I met her during yoga teacher training, so that was 2019, and we kind of kept in touch a little bit over Instagram, so it was so beautiful now to truly catch up in terms of, well, just asking her lots of questions and her sharing her life story, literally. So I'm really excited for you to listen to this as well. We talked about manifestation, manifesting your best life, about dreams, visions, trusting, and we talked about hypnosis and working with the subconscious. We truly dove into why it matters to just like release those unhelpful beliefs and clearing that path for creating whatever floats your boat, really, to recreate yourself and to create your life, to take that into your own hands. And we dove into the mind-body-spirit connection. It was just so beautiful, so wholesome, and I asked Tasha some truly deep and maybe even a bit harder questions because I was just so curious to hear her opinion on those thoughts and questions, truly. So yeah, let's just dive right in and let Tasha introduce herself. Hey Tasha, I'm so happy to have you here today and to have this conversation with you. And yeah, I would just love if you could introduce yourself, let us know who you are, and
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm so grateful to be here. It's so nice to share time and space and energy with you. And I was just thinking this morning about how we met back in Nicaragua and yoga training. And so, yeah, it's just really nice to be with one of my sisters today. But yes, I am Tasha Triana. Many people call me Tosh or sometimes even T. It always gets abbreviated down and down, but I love it. I love all the nicknames. And I always love this question. I think it's interesting. I think I have a love-hate relationship with this question because I'm like, I'm so multidimensional. How can I explain myself in only a few sentences, you know? I know you understand and relate with me on this one, but I am trained as a nurse. So I'm a nurse turned life and purpose coach. I'm also a hypnotherapist. We did yoga training together. I'm a yoga teacher, a meditation teacher, a breathwork facilitator, a Reiki master, basically all things wellness. I love it. And so that is kind of some of the hats I wear. I also am an adventurer, a traveler. I love to geek out on the subconscious mind. Last year, I received my license in hypnotherapy, and that has been just such a beautiful framework. I have a lot of healing modalities and tools, as I know you do too, but this one for me just really elevated my own practices, my growth and transformation, and being able to offer that to my clients has been so transformational. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. I also really love to add that I love tropical fruit and I love tropical environments, as I know you do too. But that is something that's just a little more fun, you know, that's about me. I'm an adventurer at heart, so I love to travel and explore.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love your intro, was like, it was perfect. So
thank you.
what I love is that we dive into all of those things as we go. But the thing that comes up for me first is, what was it that inspired you to go down this path into like alternative healing methods and all of that? Like, what was like the first step? Was it something that was always there? Did you already have that in you as a child? Was it in your family system? Or was it something that you discovered as you went because there were just like situations where you thought, okay, I need different methods here. I need to help myself. How was that for you?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I love this. And it's something I love asking a lot of my clients that I work with too, because inner child and just when we're young, it's really a true version of ourselves before the world told us who to be. And when we incorporate the subconscious mind too, that's where a lot of our beliefs stem from that age of 0 to 7. And I love this. I actually, yes, it's very much a part of me when I'm younger. And really a lot of it comes from my grandma on my mom's side. That side of the family is Guatemalan, so from Central America. And I was close to both of my grandmas. I still have one grandma living, not the one that I'm referencing now, but my grandma Stella, I would always go to her house when I was younger, and she was always doing like either some kind of interesting juicing, or she was talking about a new kind of food she was trying. She always went to acupuncture and she was into yoga. She was definitely, I think my family was like, well, she's kind of out there in some ways, you know, what is she doing? And I was always so fascinated when I went to her house, like, what are we going to learn about today? You know? And so it was just in me from a deep level. And I always remember her talking about acupuncture, and I was like, huh, interesting. You know, they stick needles in you. Okay. You know, just kind of taking it all in as a kid. And then, when I was, I think I was probably about 14, I remember I had just kind of like a sinus infection, and she said, oh, do you want to go to acupuncture with me? And it was my first time that I ended up going, and I thought, okay, I'll go, even if it's needles, but as long as they don't put any in my face, I'll go. And she said, okay. And of course she didn't tell them that in the first place. They went with straight into my face, you know? And so I thought, all right, I'm here for it. I'm in now. And so, you know, all of these pieces, I think definitely planted a seed and left, you know, an impression on me. And then when I went to school initially, I started in psychology, and I've always been fascinated with the mind, humans, behavior, relationships. And I got a master's degree in psychology. And from there, I thought I would continue on and be a therapist. But at that time, I was really getting into travel, and not just any travel, but really volunteer travel and giving back travel. So I lived in Costa Rica for 4 summers working in orphanages and group homes. And that allowed me to be expanded in many ways. And I also saw the Peace Corps, Doctors Without Borders, different groups that really just made me think in a different way. And I ended up applying for nursing school because I thought, I really want to have this be a part of my life. I really would love to have the option to live anywhere in the world. I love helping people. It kind of aligned many of my core values. And so when I applied to nursing school, and I'd already been in a lot of school at that point, I love learning. And that's another thing about me. I'm a lifelong learner. And I know you and I have that in common. But I applied for nursing school, and I just knew, like, my intuition told me, even though I wasn't consciously aware, I was like, I know I'm not going to work in the hospital forever, but I know I need this education and this experience, but I wasn't quite sure why. So I had this like intuition that it wouldn't be, you know, my forever place, but it was a stepping stone to something else. And at the time, I really thought I would apply for Doctors Without Borders. And that was really my driving force, because you needed a certain amount of years in the hospital. You needed to have experience before they would send you off on a mission, you know? So at that time I thought, oh, I'm going to be sent to Africa, maybe somewhere in Eastern Africa. Like, I had my plan. I really want to work with kids, maybe kids who are living in, you know, areas where HIV is really prevalent. Like, I had this huge plan. And then I went to nursing school. I became a nurse, worked in the hospital, and I finally got all my qualifications to apply. And then when they got back to me, they said, your application looks great. It looks amazing, but we actually need French speakers. And I thought, oh no, I can do Spanish and English, but not French. So I just took it as a sign, like, this isn't my path right now. Maybe it will come back later. And it just allowed me right at that time. It was also a really big year in my life. My grandma that I had mentioned, she passed away. I had another loss in my family. A cousin passed away, just some family situations that were happening. And so it really allowed me to go really deep within myself. It was kind of another catalyst for me on the layer of my spiritual growth and development. And that's when I moved from Southern California to San Francisco to pursue more meditation, more yoga. And that was such a, it's like a mecca of a place to go to really study yeah. that. So I transferred from Southern California to Northern California with my hospital system, which was a blessing. And I'm so grateful for that. And through, you know, just following my curiosity and diving deeper into energy healing, I was also working with an energy healer apprenticing for over a year before I made that move to San Francisco. And just following my curiosity, like I've always been so fascinated by other modalities. And now, you know, fast forward to today, I no longer work in the hospital, but I spent 10 years working there. And it's taught me so much about healing, about the mind, body, spirit connection. And it really makes me who I am today. So kind of a long journey of an answer, yeah. but that's a little bit, you know, my path definitely wasn't linear. And I think even if I asked myself, would I have predicted, you know, where I am now? I don't think I would have. And I think that's the beauty and the magic of it, right? When we follow our truth, our authenticity, the things that light us up, it leads us to really amazing and beautiful places that we couldn't have predicted necessarily.
Yeah. Well, that's so beautiful. Actually, I love how you just led us up there and through the whole story. And I was, well, was there also a moment like during your time when you were working in the hospital and working as a nurse and in nursing, were there moments or situations where you were feeling like, okay, here I would love to bring in more of this holistic, those things that I know about or that I've already kind of crossed paths with, but I haven't really integrated them yet or learned them yet. Were there many moments of those that kind of brought you even further into that space because you had like your past that kind of inspired you, but was there more like something like that as well?
Yeah, this is such a beautiful question. I feel like no one's really asked me this before. And yes, it really, when I moved to San Francisco, I became certified as a meditation teacher. And then during that time, you know, I took a month away where I met you to do my yoga training. And at that time, I was learning so much about, you know, the power of mindfulness, the breath, which you kind of learn, of course, in medical school and in nursing school, you know, you understand why breath is important, but this was just more the Eastern philosophies, not the Western practices. And so I started to use what I was learning there, not only for myself, but with my patients in the hospital. And I worked in postpartum. So I worked with newborns and moms right after the baby was delivered and took care of them until they went home. And, you know, a lot of moms delivered via C-section and would be in high levels of pain. And so when I would go into the patient room to check on my patient, and I would ask, you know, you do a pain assessment and I'd say, what is your level of pain? And it goes from 0 to 10. And often they would say something really high, you know, like a 9. And so I say, okay, let me look on the computer and see what medications are available for you, what we can give you, you know, to alleviate your pain. And in the meantime, while I was doing that, I would put a pulse ox, which is a device to measure the oxygen in your blood, on my patient's finger and just tell them, all right, breathe with me. Let's do some slow, deep breaths, really nice and slow in through the nose and a slow exhale out. And I just had them do that as I was researching on the computer, you know, what medication they could have and looking into their chart. And then after, you know, maybe even 30 seconds, it wouldn't be very long, I'd say, okay, what's your pain now? And they would go from a 9 to a 4. And so it would just really allow me to see, oh, wow, okay, you know, this, and like really measuring it too, like in a more scientific setting, could see the results, could see my patient relax, could see their heart rate go down, could see their oxygen levels in their blood increase, like actual physical and biofeedback effects, you know, and even the patient was like, oh, wow, you know, in that moment, because also when we're in pain, we clench, we get tight, you know, we often forget to breathe or we, you know, do really shallow breathing. And yeah. so we're not sending our life force or oxygen all throughout our body. So that is one of the ways that, you know, like as I was really diving deeper into this, I just really was able to bring that to my patients and to help them in that way and to remind them, you know, we have that power to give ourselves our life force. And while it might not completely take the pain away, it made a significant difference, you know, and using that with the Western ways and being able to combine modalities, I think is really powerful because both Western and Eastern offer such amazing tools and theories, and to be able to use them in harmony, you know, is just so powerful.
It's really beautiful that you were able to bring that in, even like these little bits, and making a real difference for someone, for sure. It's really, really amazing. I love that. And I later want to go into some of the things that you also said with like the mind and the body and everything is like connected. I want to get there further down the road. But I would love, and this is something that you already kind of, a little bit pointed at during when you were talking about your path. It's the subject of manifestation. And you're really talking about this a lot as well on social media. That's why I definitely know that you're into that, and that you have also created your life through manifesting and through the power of that. And I would just love, what is your take on that? How do you manifest, and like which kind of ways are you believing in when you're manifesting? Because there's so many different roads to take, and there are ways of like, okay, I have to write that down and I just have to believe that it's there. And then there are ways of like, okay, I have to also do. What is your take on that, and how do you use manifestation for yourself and also for your clients?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. And there is a lot of information about manifestation and a lot of different techniques and styles. And, this for me is where even before I became formally trained in hypnotherapy, this is for me, I was always studying the subconscious mind, and I really love Dr. Dispenza's work. And theory is, I was like, I know you're aligned on this one. it's really about the subconscious mind. And when we look deeper at that, the subconscious mind is 95% of our mind. And in that, it holds our beliefs, our identity, our survival brain is there, so much as there are habits. But what's interesting about the subconscious mind, or also called the unconscious mind, is that we're often unconscious, meaning unaware of these beliefs that we hold on to. So it's a combination, it's a dance of, I would say, the masculine and the feminine energy of doing the deeper work to clear out the subconscious beliefs that might block us from what we actually desire, as well as showing up in doing certain actions and doing things daily. It's a combination, because we could be doing things on the outside that appear to be taking us to our goal, but if we don't have a belief system inside that actually supports that, or the self-worth that will allow us to receive what we want, we can desire, all of these things, but if we don't deep down believe we're worthy of it, we'll never be able to manifest, receive, attract, or bring that into our life. Or we might bring it in, but we won't hold on to it if we don't believe we're truly worthy. So for me, with manifestation, it's really about doing that deeper work and understanding the programming, the system that's like operating your mind, because that again is what allows you to create. So for me, self-hypnosis has been really huge, as I love geeking out on all this stuff and using kind of tools and experimenting on myself. And so back in 2020, I actually had my first session with a hypnotherapist, and it was to help me create this new identity for myself of an entrepreneur, a coach, and to really step away from the hospital setting, because I was really connected and tied to that identity of being a nurse. And so I wanted help there. And so she ran through a hypnotherapy session with me. And after that, I decided, wow, I'm going to write my own hypnosis script and listen to that every morning. So I wrote out my dream life, how I woke up, how I felt, what was around me, my partner. I look out and see nature. I get up and, meditate and move my body, like literally everything I was really desiring. And then I recorded that, and then I started to listen to that recording of myself every morning. And I still do that each year, or depending on when I manifest something, I'll create a new recording for myself. And that helps us, or helped me in this case, create a new belief system to also visualize what I want, and not just visualize, feel it. And one powerful thing about the subconscious mind, there's many, but this one is really important, is the subconscious does not know if something is real or imagined. So the more you can visualize and pair it with feeling, the more your mind starts to say like, okay, this is my reality. And it starts to actually bring things to you that match up with that reality that you're creating. So there's that. And then also doing the belief work deep down, you know, that allows me to know I am worthy of, you know, creating a life of ease, of joy, of, one belief I'll share that I think listeners can relate to, having to do with the topic of abundance and money, because it's a big one for a lot of us. We have a lot of subconscious programming there, even if we just think about some of the things our parents said when we were younger, and not to the fault of anyone. You know, again, we're saying things unconsciously a lot of the time. We don't realize the belief system, but I realized for myself, I uncovered that I had a belief that, you know, I have to work hard in order to make money. And so when I started doing coaching and starting stepping away from the hospital, I thought, wow, this is so fun. I love this. And I get paid for this. It was almost like I had this block, like, can it be this easy? I feel guilty, you know, and I really had to do work there, and I'm still doing work in that area, you know, to shift the belief and the mindset. And yesterday, you know, I got to meet with 3 clients in person and I just felt so amazing. And it, you know, and I told myself, yeah, it gets to be like this. It gets to be easy, and I'm living my, you know, purpose. And I created that. It wasn't always easy. You know, it does take this deep work, but that's a little bit of insight into the manifestation. I could go on and on, but that's a little bit. Yeah.
But I love that. And I have a good one from like a money one as well. For me, it was always the one that I always thought it's like fleeting. So it's always going away. There's always too little, because that was what my parents basically instilled in me. Also, obviously, not consciously. But so, and that one is also, is for me, it's a big one. So I have worked on it so many times, but I know that as soon as like I get out of alignment and things just start to feel a bit more sticky, it kind of starts to creep up again. And I always have to be really mindful to be like, okay, wait, this is something that you learned for so many years. And I often feel like, because often we think we can just remove something from us in like a minute and just like it's going to be gone forever. And I do believe with some things we can really shift in an instant and we can truly go from there. But then there are some things I feel like they are just, they've been integrated for so many years over and over again. Yes. And when we are not mindful and when we live in a way that actually is more in tune with that old belief, because it's just something that's reflected in our environment as well, then it can happen that we kind of get back into that belief, and that we have to be really mindful of, okay, am I able to let that go now? Can I also, in that situation that resembles so much the situation that I've been in as a child, can I also let go of that belief in that exact situation? And that also is like a huge aspect for me of manifestation, as you just said as well. It's not only about thinking and believing, okay, this is what I want and this is what I desire. It's so much more about how can I create my life in the moment and how can I frame my life in the moment so that I act accordingly and that I actually take the steps and so that I already believe in myself, even though I'm not, let's say, I always hate that saying that, but it's kind of like there yet. So I don't want to be in the future. I always try to be in that moment and also try to bring in that feeling and that happiness already into the present moment, because otherwise it would kind of be, I feel like it would be kind of sad, because you would always be in the future and that hasn't happened yet. So I think it's so important that you touched upon those things and that it's way more about like clearing what is already present. And also, I guess that's something, and we can dive into that when we go also probably into hypnosis a bit, is it's so much about really about the past. It's so much about that. What have you learned there? And how is that influencing the way that you're acting in the present? Because that literally influences how you're going to be in the future. I think that is so important to be mindful of that. And I love actually that you're doing those recordings. I really want to do that too, because I've been doing a lot of those morning meditations by Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he always gives you that room to do that. But I love how you said, okay, you've recorded that and you can listen to it. And I think that's just so smart, because sometimes it's just beautiful, because the way that way you make sure that it's always literally the same that you're listening to, and it's not like every morning you have to really be like putting all those things together. So I really love how you can create that like very solid manifestation in that way, and also always go into that frequency literally, and then work from there. So that I think is really beautiful. So I really love that. I love that you shared that, because it's like almost a little exercise that someone can do at home.
Yeah, totally. Beautiful. Totally. Yeah. And you so well said on your end too, you know, many things. And one thing that I love too about doing the self-hypnosis or the self-recording for myself is it's also in your, you know, in my own voice. So you recording one too for yourself, it's really powerful, because it's like, it is your voice telling you these things that you desire to create in your life. And what's really powerful, I love doing future self. You know, like you said, we create the future in the present moment, you know, and a lot of times we can get stuck in the past, or we can get too forward thinking, like too much in the future, and that can create anxiety. But we need the past, you know, in order to learn from, to grow from, to get the wisdom, not to get stuck there, but what can we take away from it? And we also need the future to help us create this clear vision of where we want to go, right? We wouldn't just go on a plane and assume we're going somewhere. We have to know, okay, we're going to Greece, we're going to Thailand, you know, we have to know where the plane is going in some sense. And so we do want this bit of framework for the future. And what I love about future self is that it paints this picture of your new identity. And identity is one of the strongest things that our subconscious mind will seek to uphold. So, you know, as I mentioned, I needed to leave that identity or create this new identity, leave the one of being a nurse in the hospital. Nursing is always a part of me. I still have my license. I'll always keep it active. But now create this new version of myself, this new identity, who's an entrepreneur, who's a coach, who's a hypnotherapist, you know, a Reiki energy healer, all of these things. But creating that clear vision of who your future self is allows you in the present moment to show up as that version. So I'll channel my future self all the time. Like the other day I was trying to get clarity on something, and I felt myself stuck in my own mind and my own thoughts. And I just paused and I said, all right, what would future Tosh do in this moment? And it was like, oh, she would set a boundary, she would speak her truth, and she would advocate for herself right here. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, and I was like, all right, time to step into it. You got the answer. And then by acting like my future self now, I actively create that version of myself. So it is a lot about the embodiment of it, you know, as we move forward.
I have a question for you with that that just came to my mind, and it's, I have my own ideas about it, but I would just love to hear you talking about it. How, when you're manifesting your future and you're doing all that, and you're stepping into your future self, and you're creating that in the present moment, what are your thoughts on like trusting yourself with that path, you know, like trusting in your capabilities and in things turning into reality? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, good question. Self-trust for sure is a big part of it. I think self-trust and self-worth really go hand in hand, because when you trust yourself, you are able to make decisions, you're able to step forward. A lot of times when we don't trust ourselves, we stay stuck, or maybe we get in over-analysis paralysis because we don't want to make a mistake. But something that has helped me, and I did in air quotes, make a mistake, you know, something that's really helped me along the way is reframing what does a mistake mean, or what does failure mean? You know, nothing is technically a failure in my mind if I learned from it, or if it gave me information to choose a different path. And in that self-trust, which is definitely something I've really cultivated over the years and I'm still growing, right? It's a daily relationship, is this knowing that even if I take a path that no longer seems in alignment, I can always change, I can always pivot. And there's usually always something that I've taken away from that, you know, in quotes, wrong path, or the one that was no longer aligned. Maybe it was a lesson. I met a person I wouldn't have met if I had gone the other direction. There's always something that can be taken away from it when you have that mindset and that perspective. So self-trust is definitely huge. And also why one of my biggest, I would say, things that I love to say 1,000 times is really prioritizing the relationship to yourself, because the relationship you have with yourself is the most important one you'll ever have. It's the longest one you'll ever have. And it's from this relationship that everything outside of you is based upon. It's kind of like that blueprint. So if you are someone who shows up with self-trust, you know that you will figure it out. You know, you might not have all the answers in the moment, but you will be able to figure out whatever unfolds for you, or whatever is presented to you.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for your answer to that. For me, I also feel like it's so much about really trusting that everything that happens and aligns, it's just supposed to be that way as well. And that gives me kind of, yeah, that gives me a certain calm that helps me to trust in myself as well along the way, because I feel like, okay, I just trust that everything is assembling or unfolding the way that it is meant to be. And that sometimes that is even like higher than I am, obviously. And some things maybe, well, they are out of my, out of the things that I can actually influence. They're out of my zone of influence. And that really helps me as well on that path. And there's something that just came up for me as well. And also something I would love to hear you talking upon. And it's, there are some things that I feel like a lot of us, especially, I know I see that just around me with women around me, that there's a lot of desire and yearning, for example, around having a certain relationship and having a certain life, or life in terms of as well, maybe having a calmer life than the one that we are currently on, especially with nowadays, like everyone being so involved in this, like, boss business world where you have to like be on 24/7 and you have to be so almost like very well too masculine in my definition of it. And then there's this whole yearning of being soft, and it's something that I talk about a lot on this podcast and on my Instagram, and it's really something that I feel like is, I don't know if it's even a mission, it's like a passion, it's like very deeply integrated. And yeah, this part as well that I just mentioned of like, okay, there's this yearning for a relationship, for a family, etc. And I hear that around me, especially these past months, I've heard that so much. It's like, what if that never happens? What if I never find this partner? What if I'm never able to get out of this job? Or what if this world isn't accommodating these desires that I have? And what are your thoughts on that? Because I sometimes then think about, okay, maybe these things truly aren't always in your path, and maybe there's a different plan for you. That's something that I also think about. But then I always think, but if you are this person having this deep yearning, it could be for anything really, isn't that then a sign of like, okay, this is probably in your path, because otherwise you wouldn't be so, it wouldn't be so deeply integrated with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you brought up a lot of beautiful points. And I really am of the belief that you can create your reality, whatever that is, you know, and really getting clear on what that reality is. So you mentioned a lot about masculine and feminine energy, and I totally agree. I tend to work with a lot of high performers or high achievers. I myself classify as that, you know, and I got burnt out really early on working in my hospital career, you know, and it's kind of glorified in some professions too, or even in nursing, where it's like, be the martyr, don't go to the bathroom for 5 hours or 8 hours or the whole shift, you know, and it's like, I don't want to subscribe to that. But that was a belief system that was passed down, you know, and it's kind of like passed down from generation to generation of nurses. And things are really starting to shift now, but just that belief again that, you know, you have to overwork or live in this masculine energy. And we need both masculine and feminine energy. And just to clarify for those listening, in case they're unfamiliar, everyone has masculine and feminine energy, no matter what gender you identify as. So masculine energy is usually represented by, you know, logic, organization, structure. It's kind of like that hustle and grind, getting things done, logic, finding solutions. Whereas feminine energy is more about flow, creativity, intuition, you know, abundance, taking time for things to unravel. It's more about emotion and feeling, and both are needed, and they're both two sides of the same coin. And we sometimes life calls for us to be more in the feminine energy and, you know, resting, nurturing, nourishing as well. And sometimes it calls for us to be more in the masculine. But I would say getting for, you know, a person who wants to call in more feminine energy, more slowness, more, you know, nurturing, more nourishing, more flow, is to really get clear on what that is for them, you know, and really define that for themselves. Because yes, there can for sure be a lot of pressure depending depending too on what work area you're in. You know, if you're in, I was recently living in San Francisco. There's a lot of creative energy there, but there's also a lot of hustle energy there. There's a lot of tech energy. And so really, you know, being able to create boundaries and space for yourself. So something I'll share a personal example. I knew for myself once I burnt out, you know, it really taught me a lot about, it was a really challenging time, but it really allowed me to get clear on some of these, again, subconscious beliefs that were, you know, not allowing me to create a life that I actually wanted. But really creating more space for myself. I used to be the person who my calendar was like jam packed. And even on my days off from the hospital, I would be doing all the things, you know, going outside, taking my grandma to her appointment, which I'm grateful I could do that, but just, it was a packed schedule. So it was very much work hard, play hard. And once I burnt out, I realized that's not sustainable for me. And I want to create more space. And so now, you know, it's each day getting clear on, you know, am I creating the life I desire? Does my schedule have enough space for me? Am I allowing myself time for creativity and flow? And something I created for myself, actually, it was right around when we did yoga training in 2019, right before that, is I created Tosh Friday for myself, which is a gap of time every Friday in the morning from when I wake up till about noon or longer, depending on the day, where I reserve it for myself and extended self-care. I could go on a hike, I could go to a coffee shop and read and journal, whatever I desire that day. So it's utilizing the structure of the masculine by blocking off that time in my schedule. But it's also on the day of, I'm like, whoa, what do I want to do? I have, you know, all these hours to myself to have joy, to play, to utilize and boost up my self-care. And it's such a beautiful practice. In the beginning, it felt really foreign and weird. And I was like, I can't do that. I can't just block off all this time in my schedule. And I really wanted to always like call a friend or text. And I was like, nope, like this time is only for you. And one day you will appreciate it and it will become normal. And now, you know, fast forward many years later, it's like my favorite day of the week. I'm always, you know, self-caring on the daily, but this is just a block of time that's dedicated just for myself and for really recharging me. Because when I do that, I'm able to give back in a more powerful way to my clients. And then they're getting my best energy, which is one of my superpowers. So I would say, it's possible, you know, and also something that can be really helpful too is find people. You don't even have to know them per se. Like it could be somebody on social media. And yes, I know social media has its, you know, downfalls too, like anything else, but to expand your mind to show you that it's possible. So if you see somebody who is living a lifestyle similar to one that you want to create, follow that person or put yourself around people who are doing similar things, because it cues into your mind and shows it, hey, she can create it, I can create it. Maybe it's not the exact same thing, but it does put this, you know, new belief system in that it is possible. So your environment and your people and who you surround yourself with also matters. So if it's someone who wants more downtime, maybe find a few friends or find a friend who is very flowy and, you know, spend more time with them, because once your mind knows it's possible, it's able to create it.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that so much, especially because these are, again, such applicable little things that we can integrate. I love also Tash Friday. That's amazing and so beautiful. Definitely something that I kind of want to integrate as well. I haven't done that yet.
Yes, and, I think you would love it, especially as a fellow introvert over there.
Oh, yeah. I would so love that. I think I do it unconsciously without naming it. I do it definitely during the weekend. I like to take a lot of time on my own, not meeting up with anyone as well, just because I need that time so much. And I have that rule as well to only ever meet with one person per day. So if I'm meeting up with someone, it should only be one person and not one in the afternoon and one in the morning. And that would be just like, that would be too much for me. So that is something that I also, that helps me during the weekend to take enough time for myself, which is beautiful. And so I love that you just shared that. And I also love that take on social media to take it, to look at others and to get inspired, to really see what is possible and to open your mind to different opportunities. I also think that is something that I found so fascinating, because only obviously that, as you said, it might also and has its downfalls, but what I figured out when I was growing up, that when I was, basically just choosing my path of like, okay, what am I going to study, etc., I felt even back then, obviously there was already social media, but still the ideas and the things that were put into my field of what is possible were very limited in some sense. Obviously it was already more out there than than just like the basic choices. But then when I grew up even more and went through all my studies, I figured out, oh my God, there is even so much more that is open to me, so much more that I can choose from and that I can invite into my life. And that was so, so beautiful to witness. And also, and nowadays, I think it's even easier because people obviously in very obvious ways show what they're doing and what they believe in and what choices they are making. And so that gives you like a whole bucket full of opportunities and ideas, which you can kind of see, okay, how is that resonating with me? And I think that's always something really important. Is that resonating with you? Is that really something that you would want as well? And looking at it from different angles. And then, yeah, just going from there. And that is really beautiful. I think that's just such a beautiful opportunity to have.
And, yeah, I love how you stated it too and just shared. And, you know, again, like anything is a tool, like social media. You can use it to educate yourself, to learn, to expand your mind. Or, you know, we can also use it on a dark way too, where we're only comparing ourselves or we're painting a false picture. You know, like anything else, I could say a hammer is a tool. We can use it to harm someone or we could use it to build a house, you know, but it's the tool and it's how we're using it. And so really being able to use it for ways that benefit you and that are in alignment with you and the things you desire and want to create. And even podcasts, again, it's just creating this expansion for your mind. Before I left the hospital, and became a full-on entrepreneur and have my business, you know, I was listening to podcasts. I really love the podcast, How I Built This, which is all about ordinary people who had an idea, who created something or who started a business. And it just gave me so much inspiration and so much hope and also possibility that I too could create my own business and create my own life and reality, because I wasn't, you know, physically at that time surrounded by many entrepreneurs or people in the entrepreneurial life. And so being able to plug into podcasts and hear the mindset of how these people, you know, thought and went about creation, again, like, and listening to the ones that resonated with me, it was so powerful. It just really gave me this idea that, oh, she can do it or he can do it. I can do it too, you know, and really focusing on the skills that I already had that, you know, I think people out there might think, oh, but I've been this for so long, or I studied to be a lawyer and now I'm really interested in, you know, nutrition. I can't leave that. None of those skills ever leave you, you know? And so it's like, they're always a part of you and we never know how they will come out again in the future or help our paths. Everything is a part of you. So you don't actually lose it. You know, it's within you.
I love that. I also just love that you mentioned How I Built This, because I do believe my mind just somehow remembers that. I think you shared this podcast with me when we were at yoga teacher training.
Probably.
I do believe that. And when I'm thinking about it, it's so long ago, which is just crazy. But I love that we're sitting here today, which is amazing. Yeah. And I also, what I want to say with podcasts as well, for me, it is really similar. I do feel like every time I went into like a funk or was in like a weird state and I didn't feel so empowered and I didn't have so much vision as I would wish I would have, and I felt like, okay, the world is too heavy and it's too heavy to create the life that I want to create, and it just felt a bit stuck. And every time then when I went back into listening to my favorite podcasts, it's just that energy and surrounding yourself with people who are in that moment, in that space, and in that vibe that you want to be in is so helpful. And it really, every time it helped me out of that, which is just crazy how the energy of others can influence you, even though it's like, obviously it's through time and space, like it was pre-recorded whatsoever, but it's still, it's so effective. And it's just, it's just beautiful. So that is also why I'm podcasting, I guess, because I just love that. Yes. I love voice so much, and it's something that you also said earlier, and I had to think about mantras as well, and what I learned about mantras, how because you said that when you were talking, for example, and do this like self hypnosis thing with you, and also talking to yourself and listening to yourself with your future vision, it is like, even it's not even what you're saying, but it's the frequency of your voice that is so powerful. That's why I learned actually to record yourself singing the mantras that really that you want to listen to, and listen to yourself singing them, which obviously can be intimidating, but it is for some people, I know it is, but it is so powerful because your voice has that unique frequency that just resonates with you, which is something so beautiful.
Yes, so I just wanted totally. To add and I that. Love that. I love that you shared that too about singing and hearing it for yourself. And yeah, it can feel awkward at first because we're like, oh, it's myself, you know, but again, like anything else, with practice, you build up that muscle. And so over time, you know, in the beginning, I was like, oh, this is interesting, you know, but now I'm like, oh, I love it every morning. You know, I'm like, all right, pop in my AirPods, listen to it, and all right, good to go, you know? And so it's really building that relationship and practicing like anything else, you know, it's just that habit and training, because you said earlier so beautifully too, you know, we have been living, you know, we're X years old today. We've been living with certain belief systems this whole time, basically on autopilot or on repeat without us even knowing it. It's not going to take, yes, big shifts can happen instantly, but it's not going to take just one day to completely rewire, you know, a new neural pathway. It takes also that time, that consistency, the dedication, the repetition. I think of it as like, you know, we are neuroplastic, which means we can create new neural pathways and create change at any time. But I love to hike and be outside, as you know. And so I think of it like a hiking trail, you know, like if you have a well-worn trail that could be an old belief system that you no longer want to, you know, embody or take forward with you. But it's so easy to walk on that path, right? Because it's like grooved, you see it, the trail is clear. Whereas creating a new neural pathway or a new belief system is like you're out with a machete, like in the beginning, creating a new clearing, a new path. And in the beginning, it takes more effort and it takes more concentration and more discipline, until that one then becomes the new well-worn hiking trail that you're like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah. I just go straight on this path. And so it does take that, you know, the dedication and consistency along with, you know, the big shifts or receiving a hypnosis session. It's a combination of modalities.
Yeah. That's just perfect that you just brought us to hypnosis, because that was basically the next thing that I was like just already forming in my mind, because this is basically now becoming like such a huge part of your work. And I would love if you could talk a bit more about hypnosis. I mean, I think I have some understanding of it, but I would love if we go deeper into it. I have previously talked with people about hypnosis, and I figure that it's like very similar to some of the subconscious work that I studied, but I would love if you go into that and how is it working, like what are you doing and what is happening within when you're using that, I guess, tool in a way to work on creating a new version of you in essence, right?
Yeah, it's such a good question. So hypnosis, yes, it's a super powerful tool. I think there's still a lot of misconception about what it totally is, you know, and I like to describe it as a relaxed, focused awareness. So you work with a practitioner, they bring you into a state of relaxation. In some ways, there are parallels to meditation. It's not exactly the same thing, you know, and there's different styles, of course, of meditation. But basically, you get into a deeply relaxed state. And by doing this, you go into a different brainwave state, which allows you to be open to this new programming, these new beliefs that you desire. So it's not mind control by any means. You're awake, you're open, you can open your eyes at any time, you know, but it's with the practitioner. The client talks about the things that they desire in their lives, maybe where they're feeling stuck, the changes they would like to create. And in my sessions, I really go deep with my client in finding the root of that belief, because they might say, I'm, you know, having trouble releasing weight. Maybe they think it's a weight issue. But then when we go in and we dig deeper, we realize, oh, they actually don't feel worthy, or they're using food as connection, or, you know, it's not just the surface level. Like in this case, the food or the overeating is the symptom of the belief. And so that's how it's presenting. And so it's going in to find what are the root beliefs and what does the client actually want instead. So we focus a lot on what they want to create, because what's powerful too is We don't want to focus, we don't want to be against something, we want to be for something. So of course we want to find, you know, what is coming up for the client, what's blocking them. But again, if someone is suffering from high anxiety, we don't want to keep programming in like, I am free from anxiety, I don't feel anxiety, because the brain is still hearing and picking up on the word anxiety. So instead we would want to say, you know, I experience peace and calm, my body's natural state is peace. We focus on what the desired result is, because that is what's going in. And so through a hypnosis session, basically the doorway opens between the subconscious mind and the conscious mind, and it allows you to take in this new belief system. Also kind of like your reprogramming like a computer software, right? Like your computer has software that it runs on, and you know, maybe there's, you think there's a problem with the computer and you change the mouse or you make a, get a new keyboard, but it's actually the operating system. So it's similar, you know, we go in and we do a tune-up on the operating system to plug in the beliefs that the client actually wants to, you know, have embodied in their life. And in really simplistic ways, this is really important because our thoughts, we have between, research shows, there's varying research, but between 60 to 90,000 thoughts a day. And out of those thoughts, about 90% are recycled, meaning they're just on repeat. So our brains aren't actually like that creative in that sense. They just repeat, repeat, repeat. Again, many of these are unbeknownst to us because they're in the subconscious or unconscious, meaning we're not aware of it. So when these thoughts are on repeat, they create a feeling in our body. This feeling, whether it empowers us or disempowers us, allows us to then either take action or not take action. And these actions lead to the results or outcomes in our life. So it's a really simplistic way to break it down, but it's true. You know, if I tell myself, ugh, I'm unworthy, I'm a loser, nobody likes me, even saying that now, I can feel my body start to close down. And then through that, I'll probably feel, you know, more unworthy or want to make myself small. And then I won't go for that new job opportunity, or I won't talk to this, you know, girl that looks like she could be my friend at the coffee shop. Like it will prevent me from the life I actually want. But if I tell myself, you know, I am a worthy person, people like me, I have a great personality, you know, these new beliefs, I already feel more open, more confident. And that will allow me to go for that job opportunity or talk to that girl that could be my new best friend. You know, it allows different outcomes. And so through hypnosis, we're able to get clear on the new beliefs we want to rewire and then program in and shift what these new beliefs are. And then something else that's interesting about it with the subconscious mind, we kind of touched on it earlier, is that it's really for like from ages 0 to 7, you're in a different brainwave state. Your brain is still forming. So you take everything in as a truth. You don't really have your logical mind formed to think, is that really true? But you're used to hearing things on repeat from our caregivers, from even teachers, people were around, and not to fault them in any way. You know, it's just everybody is kind of operating on their own level of awareness. And so we take these things in as children and make these sometimes wild beliefs that to our conscious mind, we think that doesn't make sense, you know, but we have it living within us running that program. And again, we have our fight and flight, our survival brain is the subconscious mind too. And so if we perceive something, even subconsciously, currently in our adult life, that maybe reminds us of someone who scared us when we were younger, we might all of a sudden get hijacked and go into fight or flight without fully realizing why. So the subconscious mind is really powerful. It holds a lot there. And hypnotherapy is an amazing and super powerful tool to create deep, long-lasting change and really get into the root of the belief system.
Yeah. I have a question to that, and I don't know if it's easy to answer or not, but
yeah, go for it.
so if we would go to that deep belief that is anchored there that we want to let go of, and how do we do the shift from there to what we actually would like to have instead, or what we would like to I guess believe instead?
Yeah, good question. So through hypnotherapy, it's a way to really make significant shifts. Everyone is different with how much they shift in one session. Usually it's multiple, but it does a lot of the heavy lifting. So there's that piece that allows you to really be open, to be susceptible. You're in that super relaxed state where you're very, it's almost like you're about to go to sleep, but you're not quite asleep. So you're taking in this new information that, you know, you and the practitioner have decided upon, and a lot can go in those moments in hypnotherapy, because also when you are relaxed, that is when you're open to new information. If your body's in fight or flight, it's not a time to learn. It's not a time to grow. It's not a time to heal. You're only focused on survival when you're in fight or flight. So hypnosis does a lot of the heavy lifting. And then, as we talked about earlier with repetition and consistency, we need to reprogram in real life in the moment. So say I am going to meet new friends and my past trigger is I feel unworthy or I feel like no one likes me. I might feel a bit nervous because that old belief system is coming up. So what I can do, I might not consciously be aware of the thought coming in, but I can pay attention to the feelings in my body. Oh, I notice that feeling again where I feel like I want to close down or I feel like I'm small. Or, and then when I notice the feeling, I can tap into my mind to try to bring awareness to what is the thought I'm thinking right now. Yeah. And in that moment, gain awareness and additionally plug in that moment the new belief, you know, people like me, whatever it might be. And sometimes it's a challenge, right? Say someone's working on money mindset and in their bank account, they actually have $0. It will be challenging for them to say, I'm a millionaire. They might not want to do that one because it's not that it's not possible, but for their brain to get on board, they might need to change it up and say, I'm on the path to becoming, you know, a six-figure person, or I'm on the path. Yeah. Like they might need to modify the words they use a little bit to help it go in as a truth, you know, because if our conscious mind is there kind of blocking it out, it won't go deep within. So it's a combination of hypnotherapy, but then also in real time doing the real work, you know, of catching it in the moment. And as you build your awareness and do hypnotherapy as well, you start to catch these moments sooner and realize how often, you know, those old thoughts that you no longer want to bring forward are truly running the show, because it's almost like we just get hijacked in that sense. We don't even realize, oh my gosh, I've been repeating I'm unworthy, you know, for these all of this time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so powerful. I love how you brought it back to that awareness part, because I do think that resonates so much as well with what we said in the beginning of this episode. It's really about being aware with what is currently going on and then getting in tune with that. And then also anchoring yourself in, for example, having done one of those hypnosis sessions where you feel like, okay, now I've done that and I've worked on this, and taking that power from there. Okay. I can truly, yeah, anchor myself in that and then consciously, act in this certain way and resolve this new situation, for example, in this certain way that I've anchored myself in. So I truly love that. That's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so powerful as well.
Yeah, it's very powerful. Yeah. And I want to share a quote that is Carl Jung. And he says, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will rule your life and you will call it fate. And that's back to that, you know, until we have the awareness, we don't realize these thought patterns that are running our software or our computer, you know, that is our mind. And again, like it's this amazing tool we have that we still don't know that much about. And our brain is connected to every organ in our body. Yeah. So it's really powerful. And to be able to learn these tools to harness its power for what you want to create instead of bringing, you know, self-sabotage or holding you back. I mean, our mind, even right now, I want to share this little example. Like imagine you're at your house and in the kitchen, there's a big bowl of lemons. And I ask you, please go in the kitchen. I left out a knife. Can you slice the lemon in half? And now hold it up to your mouth like you're about to lick it. Already your mouth starts to water, right? It starts to salivate.
Yeah.
And neither of us have left where we are, but that's the power of the mind. And so it can create things that aren't here for our benefit, like if we envision our future self and what we want to create, but it can also create things that aren't here to our detriment that take us out. So our brain is such a powerful tool, yet we're not given like a user's manual on how to use it. So hypnotherapy can really give you a lot of that power back and teach you how to harness your mind, your thoughts, and really create them to be the thoughts and beliefs that will empower you in creating the life you want to live.
Yeah. Oh, and it's so aligned that you just quoted Carl Jung, because he has the same initials as I do, and he has mine or I have his last name.
I was going to say, I was like, it's one of my favorites. And I was like, this is so on point. And then also the C and the J.
Yeah, it is a C and a J, and it's the exact last name. And I do believe that a lot of his work is really incredible. So I love this quote as well. So I love that you've shared this just now. It's very aligned.
And yes, of course.
So there's one more. Well, like before we go into the final questions, there's one more thing that I wanted to touch upon, because I said so in the beginning, and it's this mind body spirit connection, and it's like that wholesome approach that we are able to take. And I know we talked a lot about that, but I would love if you could bring it down to the point. And
Yeah, of course. You know, kind of what I was just talking about, you know, our brain, our mind is connected to everything within us. And so the thoughts we're feeding it have power. And really, again, taking it back to that relationship we have with ourselves, you know, we could be eating healthy, we can be, you know, exercising, we could be doing all of these things on the outside. But what are the words we're speaking to ourselves? What are we telling ourselves within? You know, I'll share like a personal example. As I said, I am a very high performing human. And in the past, I trained for marathons, I was working in the hospital, I was doing it all, you know, and I realized through my own self-development work that the voice in my head was kind of like a drill sergeant, wasn't very nice. And it was like, we have to do this. We need to get this done. Oh my gosh, if you don't do this, like the whole day is ruined. It was not very nice. And now my voice is so much more compassionate. Like, oh, you actually need to rest today? Great. Like take a break. You know, it's okay. In the past, it wouldn't have been like that. But that has really shifted my overall state of well-being, my spiritual self, my mental state, you know, because it's this voice of how I'm talking to myself and what am I telling myself? Because again, we can do all these things on the outside, but our body, our spirit is always listening. And for me, self-compassion and self-love, self-worth have all been so key on that journey. And, you know, it's something that we can all, I think, use a boost of, you know, on a daily basis, just this self-love, this respect that we have for ourselves or even our bodies, like all of the things that our bodies do, again, subconsciously or unconsciously without us thinking about it. All these things, like it's breathing, it's pumping blood or oxygen's bringing in air. You know, it's like we do all of these things without having to tell our body, okay, take a breath now. And so really taking time to appreciate and to have gratitude is also a big one. So yes, our minds, bodies, our spirits are connected. And even, you know, living a life that is in alignment is so powerful because you're doing the things that feed your soul. And when your soul is happy and full of joy and happiness and alignment, and you are feeling free to be your authentic self, that is really just, I even get goosebumps talking about it. That is such a powerful place to come from and to work from. And it just feels, you know, very empowering. And when you have that alignment, mind, body, spirit, all working in harmony, that's the definition of well-being. You know, it's really just tapping into your source, and that's it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is so powerful. I have lived through that so many times in my life by now that, and it was actually also at the point where my health was the worst, some years back, where it's always the mind literally influences the health of my body, and it's for everyone, right? But it was so powerful to really then notice as soon as I was shifting my conscious state and starting obviously to live more in alignment, but also to create like a healthy, nurturing space within. And like you said, not, for example, talking to myself like a drill surgeon, but rather being compassionate with myself. And even when I'm having negative thoughts again and coming in with another part of my mind of being like, hey, that's okay. That's just how you've seen this for so many years. And then reframing that. And that has literally like shifted my whole experience of like how my body feels and how I'm healthy. And it really took it to a whole nother level, to the extent of where I was like, oh my God, I think most people in this world actually don't know how it feels to feel good. And I think that is why it's so powerful to really take in not only the body, not only the mind, not only the spirit, but really bringing all of those together and then going from there. So I love that this is your approach as well.
Yes, and it's so powerful because, you know, the mind and body are constantly in communication and they affect each other. And so when, you know, I tell myself I don't feel well, and maybe I don't, and that's okay, you know, but if I'm continually telling myself that the entire time, my body's like, okay, we don't feel well, so we're going to do these following things, you know, and then we receive that feedback loop. Oh, my stomach is hurting. And then the brain's like, we don't feel well, you know, and it just creates that pathway that we talked about before, you know. And again, it's okay if you feel bad sometimes. It's, we're not here to show up always in like positive.
No.
All feelings are and emotions are valid. But just that, you know, they're in constant communication with each other, the mind, the body, and the spirit, you know, we can't separate them out. It's like having a glass of sand and saying like, this part is the spirit, this part is the body, you know, like they're all blended together. It's like we can't separate it out like that. And so looking at them holistically is really powerful. And for me, also one of my biggest takeaways from the hospital, you know, again, like Western medicine has made amazing advances for the world, and there's so many pros to it. And the area where it could really use a big boost is in addressing the mental and the emotional and the spiritual aspects, because somebody isn't just a body, you know, they're a soul, they're a spirit, and there's more to somebody than just a headache. You know, what is going on in their life? Did they have a loss? Did they have a career change? Did they break up? You know, what is going on in their lives? Because that also contributes and it is manifested in the body physically.
Yeah, I do believe that's so important. And I love how you brought that down to that. There's one very last question that I ask everyone on here.
Yes.
And it's, if there's one thing that you wish more humans would know about, what would that be?
Such a good question. Two come to mind, so I'll say them both, is you are always your best investment. So in whatever way you feel called to invest in yourself, whether it is, you know, taking an art class or going to study yoga or going to a therapist, whatever way you feel is an investment in you and your well-being, do it, because it's the best investment you can ever make. Again, back to the, your relationship with yourself is the most important one you will ever have. So prioritize it. And then the second one would be that you absolutely can create your reality. So it is possible. And if you can dream it, you can do it. So those are my two.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying those two. These are amazing. I so agree with you on that. And the very, very last thing is, you can tell everyone where people can find you, how they can work with you. Is there anything that you're offering? This is your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I loved our conversation. And yes, I would love for people to, I'm very active on Instagram. So my handle is at the Nurtured Nurse. And then my website is thenurturednurse.co. And yes, that's the best place to find me. I have my links there for my offerings. It's a variety of coaching, energy healing, hypnotherapy. There's a variety of offerings there. And then my exciting offering, well, they're all exciting, but one that is upcoming is my next retreat, which will be a women's wellness retreat in Nicaragua, which is at the end of May. And so that is, yeah, just one of my big, big passions. As I mentioned in the beginning, I'm an adventurer, I'm a traveler. I love to share my favorite places with people. And so there will be daily yoga and meditation. It's set in the jungle next to the beach. This is where Karina and I met in Nicaragua. It's beautiful. It's my favorite country. The food is amazing. There's daily yoga and meditation, energy healing, a community of sisters, just so much goodness there. So if anyone is intrigued, definitely head to my Instagram and check it out. I would love to have you if that sounds in alignment.
Yeah, and just going to Nicaragua is amazing. I think it has a part of my heart forever.
Yes.
And I definitely want to go back at some point in life for sure.
Yes, so, you will.
Yeah, I will. I will. Thank you so, so much. It was so lovely talking to you and having this conversation. And for me also a way to kind of catch up with you in some ways, which is beautiful. So thank you very much for showing up here.
Yes, thank you for having me. Thank you for sharing your energy and your beautiful gift with not just me, but the world, everyone who gets to listen. Thank you, thank you.